Welcome to this week's episode of Grief with Grace. I have a very special guest with me today. She is an incredibly talented and gifted psychic and medium, and I am honored to call her my friend. I met Shelley Wilson back in, I believe it was 2012 is what we figured out, and we have remained friends, so that's 9 years ago. We've remained friends since then. Shelley has been instrumental in my spiritual growth, and she has helped me through two of the most difficult experiences of my life in different ways. But she helped me when my mom passed away, and she also has brought Greg through in a reading. So I am very honored to share with you my friend, Shelley Wilson. Shelley is an author, an intuitive medium, and a conscious creator who is passionate about helping people wake up to their greatness. She supports others as they navigate their own journey into consciousness to experience aliveness. Shelley's books, 28 Days to a New You, Connect to the You Within, Journey into Consciousness, and Embracing the Magic Within, are available in paperback and ebook. She is also the creator of Cards of Empowerment and Clarity Cards. Welcome to Grief with Grace, the podcast for mothers who have children in spirit and who are now navigating life after the unimaginable. I'm your hostess, Lori Latimer, and I am one of those mothers. Each week, my guests and I will be sharing with you insights, stories, tools, and inspirations to help you find moments of joy in the everyday. Because even on the darkest days, there is joy if you know how and where to look for it. Shelley, welcome. I am so excited to have you on the podcast this week.
I am so excited to join you, Lori.
Well, Shelley and I, for those who don't know, met each other, I think it was 9 years ago, at a metaphysical afterlife expo here in Atlanta. And when I signed up to be a vendor at that expo, I had no experience with the afterlife. I didn't realize what the expo was about. And I was like, I don't even know how to describe how baffled and intrigued and just kind of shaking my head at a lot of it I was. And then it was like something sparked in me. And you and I connected that very first year. And I mean, we had a soul connection right off the bat.
Yes. Yes. Fast friends.
Yes. Yes. And so it's always beautiful to connect with you. And I loved watching your growth and evolution through the years, because I remember at that first expo, you were doing card readings and you were just starting on your mediumship path. And I don't think you were even giving mediumship readings at that point. You were just starting your studies. So can you talk a little bit about your journey, as you call it in your book, Journey to into Consciousness? Because I think it's fascinating. And I think that a lot of people will relate to your life before and then what happened to shift you onto this path.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you. And definitely that was June of 2012 at Through the Veil, where we connected that. And so just a little bit about me, but I always knew things. I was very sensitive to energies. I grew up in a household. I was raised in the Baptist religion, and also my dad's a civil engineer. So it was an environment that, you know, what was said to us was truth. We didn't really think for ourselves, so to speak, but I always knew that there was something more than what I was told. You know, I knew that there definitely God was not necessarily something outside of us, but actually something within us or a part of us. And so throughout my journey, I began realizing that I was just very sensitive to energies, that I could feel things. I felt what other people were feeling. I realized too, once again, that I knew things. So I began on that path, and it started with a reading I had with someone in March of 2008. And that reading helped to validate what I already knew to be true. You know, we ask those questions, Lori, who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Is this all there is. And she offered exactly what I knew. And from there, I began practicing Reiki. And then it was 2010 when I started developing the mediumship. I didn't even really understand what a medium was until I had Lisa Williams come into my awareness. And so I began studying with her, also studied with James Van Prague and Tony Stockwell and John Holland. And you're right, in 2012, I was beginning doing readings for others, the mediumship aspect. But I'll tell you, a lot of people like the visual of the cards. So mm-hmm. I always had them available, but I would also just give what I get as it came through.
Yes, I remember having a reading with you at that expo, and it was extremely profound for me and really opened my eyes to this whole world that, like you, I had been curious about and known things, but not realized I knew them. And as you were talking just now, it just occurred to me something that I had never connected before. You said that in March of 2008 was when you got that reading. I left my marriage in February of 2008, and that was when I started on my path of self-discovery and then spirituality and then the afterlife. So I've heard—
Same time, yes.
And I've heard through other people that there was a big shift in the consciousness in 2008.
Hey.
And so— Again, it's
makes
all
sense. Along. Makes Absolutely. Sense. And I've got chills all over. And it was at that time too, I had a conversation with my father because he, you know, once again had his viewpoint. And for the longest time, you know, I allowed his thoughts and beliefs to be my own. And I felt very influenced by them. And so I got to have a very deep conversation with him that shifted things and my perception of him and our relationship. And it was perfect.
I love it. That's great. And I think you're so right that so many people, I don't know if it's still as true today, but people of our generation in particular, were raised with a certain set of beliefs. And you were raised in the Baptist church. I was raised in the Catholic church. So you were raised with this certain dogma that you're taught not to question.
Yes.
So you don't verbalize your questioning. You internalize it. And then all of a sudden, it starts to pour out of you. And the more you start to seek and search for the answers, the more you open up to the gifts and the magic of all of it. And you've
Absolutely.
Certainly done that.
Absolutely. And I've observed you as well throughout this process, Lori, just knowing too, you know, the growth that we both experienced. And a lot of it is the life experiences that we're having every single day. And sometimes they are absolutely amazing and beautiful and we want to do it again. And sometimes they're quite challenging and things that we would never want to go through again.
Absolutely. Yes, that is completely true. I will also, and I'm sure you remember this, but I will share, I've talked about this on the podcast before, but Shelley is the person that I reached out to the last night of my mom's life. I knew that my mom was in a coma, and I knew that she was kind of at the proverbial fork in the road. And which way was she going to go? And I wanted to assist her in whatever way would benefit her soul and also her human self. And I reached out to Shelley, and Shelley tapped in and wrote back to me and said, you know, your mom kind of has one foot here and one foot there, but she's worried about you. And you helped me help my mom that night. And I'm forever grateful for that.
I'm glad that I could be there. And I remember that was also a weekend of the Through the Veil. We were at the conference and you had to leave and were unable to be there that Sunday. And so just knowing, you know, once again, I know, Lori, there's no coincidences when someone connects. And I just get this sense that we were destined to meet in 2012.
Absolutely. And I think that's a real good teaching point or reference point for people is when your soul, when you have that inner knowing, when you connect with someone and you don't understand why, follow it, because you never know where you're both going to meet up again in the future and help one another. And, you know, don't write it off. As you said, there are no coincidences, not at all. So I'm curious, I would love for you to talk, because I look up to you for a lot of the teachings that I've learned through the years since I've met you. And one of your books is called Journey into Consciousness. So I would love for you to explain to the listeners, what exactly is consciousness? Because I think there's a misperception with a lot of people. It can kind of become a buzzword. And since you wrote a book on it, I would love your thoughts on that.
Yes, well, thank you. And to me, right away, you know, first of all, we many times also use the word awake. And to me, that's all about being in tune, being aware, taking note of those signs. And when we think of consciousness, thinking of that as our own energetic being, you know, we look at this definitely metaphysically, spiritually, but if we just keep it very simple, energetically, what is our consciousness? Is that our soul? Is that our own awareness? And I believe it's all of that. And so the more that we recognize that, once again, we start asking those questions, who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? I like to refer to them as keys that unlock the door to more. So many times as a human, you know, we're living life, or it may seem like we're existing, going through the motions. But once we start realizing, wait, there's more to life than just what I see or what I perceive, let's really live. And as we know, once again, that can encompass many types of experiences, but the consciousness is knowing, once again, that we are energetic beings having a human life experience.
Absolutely. So you mentioned the word energetic. So let's talk about that.
Yes.
How would you describe energy, and how is that similar to or different than consciousness?
Okay. So first of all, we know that every cell in our body is energy. We know that energy is what we learned in school about protons, neutrons, electrons, particles, everything else, the nanoparticles, you know, they have so many different forms. But we know that energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be changed. And we know that energy also is in the form of a solid, a liquid, a gas. And we think of that as matter as well. And so when we start looking at this, once again, from a higher viewpoint, from that spiritual viewpoint, we realize too, once again, that we are these energetic beings. Our souls are, once again, within this physical form. And that's why when we think about our loved ones that have made that transition to the other side, they're still energy. They're still with us. They just no longer have that physical form.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I work with people on is raising their vibration, because of course, the thing that parents want the most, and I mean, anyone who loses someone that they love, it happened with me when my mom passed away. But one of the things they want is to know that their loved one is still here, that this is not the end, and that they can connect with them, or that they can connect with them through someone like you who does that. How would you, so I encourage people to raise their vibration, and there are different ways of doing that, but I know a lot of people don't even understand what that means. So how would you describe raising your vibration?
First of all, we think of energy once again, and we think of frequency, think of vibration. And so when we even look at our own physical body, we know within that physical body, as I said, the energetic body, we have the chakras. Those are those energy centers. We have the aura that surrounds the body. So if our energy is stuck in that root chakra, which is that first chakra, it's more of a human vibration. So think of that's also our survival needs, where we have the lower vibrational emotions, the fear, worry, doubt, regret, guilt, shame, frustration, and so on. But if we move to heart chakra, which is literally where our heart is located, that's a love vibration. So the other's fear, this one's love. And that's what we think of raising our vibration, being able to know that definitely we are very much human, but we also get to decide what energy we primarily focus on. And that's what's essential for making that connection, because if our energy is dense and heavy and low and feeling very depressed or sad or stressed or worried, that's a much different vibration than if we're in this love space, higher vibration. It's easier to connect because our loved ones are pure love. And that's the vibration we want to connect to.
I have found from talking to a lot of grieving moms, they have a hard time getting out of those lower level energies that you're talking about. And one of the things, one of the easiest ways that I have found is simple, not easy. Let me rephrase that, is by the things that we put into our bodies. Yes. And I know that it can be so tempting to drown our grief in alcohol. What does that do to our vibration?
Okay, so what we think of once again as everything that we put in has a vibration as well. So we know that any substance that may alter our state of being, so whether it's medications, alcohol, drugs, anything like that, it can definitely inhibit or reduce that higher vibration. And it's not good or bad. You know, what's coming to mind too is fast food, processed foods, things like that. I can tell you that I do my best to eat healthy, have the awareness of what I put in, because we think of it as fuel. And if you are driving a car that requires premium fuel, it really does need that. So, you know, we can try to be cost effective, but if it says it needs premium, that's what we really need to put into that. And so what I like to say too is when I need to ground after doing an event, doing messages and things like that, I will probably go to a fast food restaurant and consume a burrito or a hamburger because it's very dense and heavy and it will bring me straight down. So it's not good or bad. We want to remember that, Lori. The main thing is knowing how does it affect us. And if it weighs us down and things become foggy, because even sugar, and I love chocolate, I love sweets, but I know how it does make me feel.
Yeah. And so I think that comes back to what you were talking about before about awareness. You have to be aware of what affects things that you consume in any form.
Yes.
How they affect your body.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you are the only person that knows what is right for you. And the main thing, once again, is if this feels good to you, you choose to do it, you have free will, then that's fine. So don't feel like you can't or you shouldn't. But even going back to drinking water, water is a pure substance coming in. I know people may have their thoughts depending on where your water source is and what it's coming from and what's in it. However, our body's made up of water. So we need to keep it hydrated. We need to keep it replenished. And at the same time, it's very grounding for us also.
I'm so glad you brought water up because that is something that is so important when you are in deep grief, because we release so much water through
tears,
hyperventilating, through tears, through sweating, through all of that. And you have to replenish that or else you will become dehydrated. I remember in the first few days after Greg passed away, it didn't matter how much water I drank. My lips were so chapped and my mouth was so dry. And I'd been drinking a lot of water for years and continued to even, you know, that day, the next day, the next day, it didn't matter. I was so dehydrated. I think it's just it's one of the physical effects of that kind of grief. But going forward, it's really important to consume enough water because like you said, we are, what is it? 86% water
or
something?
Yes. Which is crazy to think about, right? You know, and what's coming through to say too, our body needs minerals. So even the salt, the trace minerals, putting that into our water, having that, I will tell you, we function so much better. And that's why on an energetic level, but also we're very much in a human body at this time.
Yeah. So that's something else that I think I've touched on in some other podcasts, but it brings to mind that, and I think that I did this after my mom passed away, more so than after Greg passed away. But there is this tendency for us when we are in this level of grief to want to stay in the spiritual realm all the time. And we ignore our physical body and the physical part of ourselves. And I think that that can, we have to come into harmony with the spirituality and the physicality of our beings.
Yeah, absolutely. What's coming through, you know, we have to practice that self-care, that self-love, and it's absolutely okay to feel the emotions, to grieve, to be where you are, but you also want to do your best to recognize, have the awareness of where you're at, how you feel, and then strive to move through it, or at least do your best to do that. Because, you know, some people that feel like they can't function, they can't get out of bed, that is okay if that's where you're at. But also, I know that our loved ones in spirit want us to do our best to have that vitality, because life force, what's flowing through us, you know, that's the same energy that they are made of. So when we want to connect with them, feel them, we have to get to that higher energy to be able to do that.
I love that. That's beautiful. It's so true. So let's shift topics a little bit. And I would love for you to talk about dreams. And the reason this comes up is because I know that from, you know, reading Facebook posts in bereaved mom groups and even in my own group, everybody wants a dream visit from their loved one, whether it's their child, their parent, their spouse, whatever it is, their pet. Let's talk about dream visits.
Hey, that's a great topic. And I will tell you, a lot of people talk about having them. That's why so many people say, wait, I want to have one too. Why haven't they come through? And that is just one way that they can connect to us. Now, Lori, you and I have already talked about this, but some people sleep so hard, so deep, they don't remember even having a dream. Mm-hmm. They very well could have, or maybe not, but they don't recall it in the morning. So knowing that many times that may be how you sleep regularly, your loved one, if they do come through, you may not even realize it or may not know it, or they may know that you don't remember your dreams. So why would they come forward in that way? The thing is the dream state, we tend to be more receptive to messages. Mm-hmm. Our dreams also are very symbolic, very metaphorical. So even if we have things going on in our day-to-day life, it will show up in our dreams for our subconscious to process. That's why many times our loved ones will show up in that state to connect with us, to say, I'm here, I'm okay, I love you. With that said, our loved ones regularly drop in during our waking hours, and most people don't even realize it. And what happens is we may think that we're originating that memory or that thought. And in reality, they're saying, I'm right here. Can you feel me? Can you see me? And they'll give us an image or give us a memory, and they're coming through during our waking hours. So that's what I encourage people to begin taking note of. Your loved ones are connecting to you, but they're doing it when you're fully awake.
Yeah. Something else that I think from my own experience about dreams and dream visits is that I am not really clairvoyant. I don't see things. And mm-hmm. So for me to expect to, quote, see Greg in a dream or wake up and see him somewhere in the room, I think that's an unrealistic expectation on my part. I'm more claircognizant and clairaudient. And so I will often wake up in the morning feeling him. And I believe that he has visited me in my dreams, but I didn't see him because I don't generally see things. I feel them. I sense them. I know them.
Yes.
And you are the medium in this conversation. So is that a correct analogy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I will tell you, Lori, the main thing, because our loved ones are energy now, it takes a lot of energy for them to build up for a visitation to come through and show us even just a headshot, a heads up, because usually they don't even give us a full body. So many times they do come through with a feeling. They'll blend with us. We'll have a sensation on our body where we feel a coolness, chills, a buzzing, a tingling. Sometimes it comes from behind and wraps around us. Sometimes it's one side only, but that's their way of saying, I'm right here. Mm-hmm. And the more that you do actively talk to them and say, I just need to feel you, get close to me. Sometimes we say, I need to see you. I want you to come in my dreams. And as we know, that could be a bit demanding and very hard for them to fulfill. So trust that they're coming forth, that they're with you, but it may not be necessarily in the manner that other people talk about or that they even experience.
Right, right. A couple days ago, I was at the law office that I work in part-time, and I was there by myself in the copy room, and all of a sudden, I smelled my grandmother's house. My grandmother passed away in 1981, so that was 40 years ago. Wow. She lived in that house for a few years. I had not been to that house since 1974, and I smelled her house. And I knew that that was her with
yes.
me. Yeah. And I had never smelled that before. Never.
Right.
So yeah, it was
a little freaky,
but so comforting.
Yes.
And
yes.
I knew immediately
because it was familiar.
Yes. And I think that there are such nuances to the signs, but when we are weighed down by the lower level energies of grief that, you know, the things you mentioned, the shame, the guilt, the sadness, the anger, the, you know, frustration, all of that, we might not be aware of the signs they're sending us. And so I would love for you to talk about that, because that brings to mind another thing that I see quite often from bereaved moms in particular is, I'm not getting any signs from my child.
Yes, yes. And one other energy that I want to add to that, or emotion, is confusion.
Oh.
You know, because sometimes our loved ones make a transition. They've not been sick. They don't have a diagnosis. It's very sudden. It's an accident. Or sometimes it is even by choice, where someone chooses to make that transition for themselves. And the thing is as parents, especially, we're going through all the what ifs, the whys, the how comes, and everything else. And even looking at our own choices and wondering, could I have said or done something different? Is this my fault? And knowing that it's okay, once again, to ask the questions, but we also want to do our best to transcend the heavy, the guilt, the sadness, and move back to a place of saying, let me just pause for a moment. Let me just be and see what's happening. And when we do that, Lori, we are able to more accurately and easily identify the signs that they're sending us. And they give this to us in many ways. Sometimes it's those number sequences. I know that you're a big lover of that. 1111, 111, 444, 222, 1234. There's many variations, but the knowingness of when you see that number and you find comfort in it, that's what matters. Those coins that we find in unusual places, those pennies or dimes, sometimes we have the animal messengers with the various animals, but also the cardinal, the bluebirds, the hummingbirds, even dragonflies or butterflies. Also, when we get the song lyrics that come into our mind or on the radio at the perfect time, the main thing is, how do we feel when we connect with that message, and knowing that that is absolutely a way that they communicate with us. And I will add too, the signs will not stay the same. They want to keep us on our toes, keep us paying attention, looking out, so that we're always, and not in an obsessive way, but in a way that feels natural, where we're taking note of whatever or whomever comes into our awareness.
Yes. Shelley and I talked about that before I started recording. I asked her if the signs stay the same or if they change, because, you know, in the beginning, in the first year, year and a half, Greg used to come through rainbows. I was seeing a lot of rainbows and double rainbows. I've never seen, you know, so many rainbows in my life. I haven't seen rainbows lately, but all of a sudden I'm seeing cardinals all over the place. And I live in the same place I've lived for 9 years, and I've never seen cardinals. And I was looking for them the first year. So it isn't like they were there and I just didn't notice them. So I love that they do change. And knowing Greg, like I obviously did, he was my son. That's totally his personality too. Like, Mom, I'm going to keep you guessing.
Yes.
And I think that it's also an opportunity for my own spiritual growth, not to become, as the word you used earlier was, complacent with it, but to keep challenging me, because I am growing and evolving. And I have the choice, like you said, you know, that free will comes into it. I could just ignore all of it, or I could continue to evolve and grow. And he's helping me with this, which I'm so grateful for.
Yes, yes. And what's coming through also, Lori, is, you know, some people will ask for a specific sign, and they're very determined that that's the only sign that will be from their loved one. And sometimes it's just not possible. So this is where you've got to be a bit flexible and trust that another sign will show up, or similar sign, but don't feel like you're not getting signs just because you're not getting the one that you demanded. And yes, what's coming to mind is someone that specifically said, well, I want goldfinches. I want goldfinches to be the sign. Well, that yellow bird may not be a natural habitat to certain places. So it could show up in the form of an ad or a brand or something like that. Or it may just show up in another bird or something yellow. But as I said, also don't be so demanding, because it's almost like telling someone, well, this is how you have to do it and when you have to do it. Kind of like, I want you to come in my dream state. Well, it may not be the best way for them to come through. So
right.
Be open, be receptive, be flexible.
And be respectful of them.
Yes.
Because they
yes.
have free will as well.
Absolutely.
And so I will share, and I know I've shared this on a very early episode, and so I know I have a lot of new listeners since then, but speaking of signs and signs that are not natural to where you live, I was in a group, this was like a year and a half ago, of grieving moms, I think it was. And each week we chose a sign that we wanted to get from our child. And, you know, you tuned into your child to get a message on what the sign would be. Well, I heard the word lighthouse, and I'm like, my God, I live in the middle of Atlanta, of Georgia. You know, I don't live in Southern California like I used to. We don't have the ocean here. We don't have lighthouses here. I was not planning a trip to the coast. So I thought, okay, well, you know, whatever. A few days later, I was going to my granddaughter's basketball game, and it was in a different town. It was north of Atlanta, and I took the wrong exit, even though I had, you know, Google Maps up or whatever, but I got off an earlier exit than I should have. So I made a right turn. I went up to the stoplight. I was going to make a U-turn to go back to the freeway. And as I'm sitting at the stoplight, I look over to the left, and there's a car wash, and its big logo, its big sign was a lighthouse.
I get.
So in a place I shouldn't have been.
Right, right. And all of that. And that's exactly how they do that, Lori. And I'm getting chills down my body, which is another sign from spirit that it's truth, that we're with you, and so on. So we have to flow with it. And that was a great example, because sometimes, you know, we are our GPS, and we think of that as a guiding system, you know, and we're being guided to go a certain way. And had you not taken the wrong exit, you would not have seen the sign that you had asked for.
Right.
It just was not how you thought it would be.
Exactly.
So,
or where I thought it would be.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But again, you have to be open and observant. Because I could have sat at that stoplight and checked my phone or played with the radio or something. But I did look up and looked over, and there it was.
Oh,
it was
very good.
Replica.
Undeniable, undeniable.
Exactly.
So this is where you trust even the nudges, the nudge to look to the right. There it is.
And I verbally, even though I could have just thought it, but out loud, and I was by myself, I talked to Greg and thanked him. I said, thank you. You knew what you were doing. You knew
yes.
what was going to happen. you helped guide me here. And so I think acknowledging the signs that they send us is so important. I mean, it's like you doing this interview. I have said thank you to you because I'm grateful. Well, why wouldn't we do the same for our loved ones in spirit? They're just as real as you and I are.
Absolutely.
They're just in a different realm.
Yes. And that's, you know, just like on a human level, we want appreciation. We want to feel gratitude, and they do as well. They're not demanding of it, but it's just a courtesy. You know, this is something that we've been taught, you know, say, thank you. I see that. I appreciate the signs. I appreciate you being here with me.
Yes. And that goes back to what you were saying about us not demanding, I mean, when, or expecting certain signs. When Greg was here, I couldn't demand he do certain.
He wouldn't allow it. Yeah.
And so why would I demand that he do things now just because I want them or have certain expectations? There's still a relationship there. And so you have to form a new relationship with them, but it's not just all one-sided. It's not just me expecting or demanding that he behave a certain way when, I mean, I can hear him laughing right now, like, yeah, mom, like you could have, you know, demanded anything of me when I was here.
Did it or not is another story, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And the whole thing too with that is, you know, when our loved ones do transition to the other side, when they are released from their physical body, they are adapting to life without that physical form. And in turn, we're adjusting and adapting to life without them being here physically. Mm-hmm. Once again, energy cannot be created or destroyed. So we have to learn how to be able to communicate and feel their presence with us. And on the other side, there's no time element. Here, we look at the clock, the calendar. We know how long it's been since they made that transition. In essence, they're not in tune to that. They don't have that same need to know the time. And that's why they can go about doing what they're doing and learning and growing and living. Once again, they just don't have that physical form anymore.
I have another question that just came to me. This is something I've been curious about. And I don't know that I've ever asked anyone or gotten an answer to. So we are a soul having a human experience. And I believe that we've chosen multiple life incarnations. But we do return to spirit and we become whole again as our soul. And I'm not sure how to articulate this. Let me tune in a minute. So when we are here in this physical body, is part of our soul still in the spirit world?
There are people that absolutely believe that, that, you know, if we can see consciousness as an ocean and that we're drops of that, and if we can see that every life we've ever lived is also drops of that, so it is something definitely we can ponder and even analyze, but I don't know that we ultimately know the truth until we in turn return back to consciousness, return back to energy.
Yeah. When you mentioned the ocean, that reminded me, and maybe this is where this whole thought came from. And I don't know if it was a John Holland book I read, but I remember hearing someone describe it that it's like our soul is the ocean. Our spirit is like a wave in the ocean. And so our spirit incarnates. So like a piece of our soul incarnates into this human life, but our oversoul, the ocean, is still there.
Yes.
And
Which is kind of complicated to think about, isn't it? And yes. I like to even interchange soul and spirit, mm-hmm. but then I also use spirit with a capital S to refer to collective, our angels, guides, loved ones on the other side. So once again, it's like, how do we look at this? And I feel like there's no wrong answer. It's just, once again, how we're perceiving it and what feels comfortable to us.
And I think too, that trying to put labels or just find the language, the human language to describe some, it's like, I can feel what I'm trying to say, but I'm not sure I have the words to express it in human terms.
Right, right. Yeah. And we know in our language, there's many synonyms, but sometimes we're wanting to use the perfect word, the highest vibration word, and so on. And just to take that and as a segue, we can think of being very cautious, which actually evokes fear and worry, or we can be very conscious, which means we're more aware and awake. And they're synonyms, but they have a completely different vibration.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's a beautiful way of describing it and articulating it. Yeah, I think we're limited by our human language. And some of these concepts are so large that to try to funnel them down into words that encompass everything, I think might be impossible, but definitely limiting.
So otherwise, why would we have so many words in our language? You know, and once again, even when I'm writing, I like to say, oh, is this the best word choice? And highlight it and the word doc and pull up the synonym and say, it's like, I don't know. Oh, this one feels good. But when we're talking, usually it's just words will come into our mind. But even as we've both been doing, Lauren, we'll pause and say, I don't know if that's the right word or the word that I really want to use with this too. Yeah. And once again, tying this back to our loved ones on the other side, you know, they are speaking to us. They're giving us thoughts and feelings and words and everything to go with, but they are helping us to absolutely grow in our own development as well, because we recognize that many times them making a transition has been the catalyst for our greatest growth.
Absolutely. And I think that's the underlying message that I want people to take from this conversation is that, you know, as Shelley's been saying, you have free will. I'm so all about choice. You have a choice in how you move forward in your life after a loss. And as you were talking, I was thinking about a couple of Greg's friends. One of his friends lost her beloved grandfather maybe a year ago. Another one lost her father a couple months ago. And so it doesn't matter if it's your child, your parent, your grandparent, your spouse, again, whatever it is, whatever you, as I will say till the day I take my last breath, whatever someone's greatest loss is, that's their worst loss. And I'm not going to diminish their loss because I lost a child. I don't think there's no better, worse, none of that. But it's an opportunity for your soul to grow. And I know there are going to be parents who are going to push back on that and fight against it. But again, it's a choice. I don't believe as a human, I chose for Greg to leave. I would not have made that choice as a human being. I trust that my soul knows what in the world it was doing when it agreed to that. And so I feel like I have a responsibility to Greg, to the people that listen to, that ever come across my podcast, my work, that work with any of that, and to my soul, to learn and grow and evolve so that I leave this life having fulfilled that learning, that lesson. And then I can like check that one off. So maybe I don't have, now there may be something else I need to learn that I don't learn this time from this kind of experience, but I don't want to leave here with, again, bringing it back to consciousness, being as aware as I can so that I don't leave this lifetime with any of this undone.
Yes, yes. And two things are coming in as you've been talking, Lori. First of all, you know, absolutely, once again, know that our loved ones, even though they're not here physically, they're absolutely with us. They're giving us signs and messages that they want us to thrive. You know, part of having a human life experience is to live. And if we're caught up in the sadness and them being not here with us physically, then it takes away from our own life. So I know they live vicariously through us. That's why they want us to have the joy and the lightness and the laughter. And we can be sad as well. They just don't want us to be consumed by sadness. The other thing that's coming in to share is, my pa, my grandfather, passed in 1989. He passed at the age of 57. And it just broke my heart. He was my favorite, of course. And his wife, my nanny, she passed in 2008. And I, throughout the years, you know, wondered, what will life be like without my nanny? Because she was my favorite. You know, she took care of me. I just adored her. And actually, it was about a year before she passed. She began talking to me, you know, we had lots of heart to heart, deep conversations, and saying she was tired. She didn't want to be here anymore. She wanted to be with Pa again. And knowing that they had such a long time without each other, I understood that. And I had spoke to her very deeply again around November of 2017. And I could just feel that. And then she passed in 2018 she went to the casino, one of her favorite habits that she liked to do, and she had an aneurysm and collapsed there at the casino, and they took her by ambulance. They did what they could. I was able to get to her, but she was already beginning to make that transition. But I will tell you, my own beliefs, my own understanding, my own awareness, I knew that she was ready to be in that place. And what a perfect way for her to go, doing what she loved in the place that she loved. And just once again, we don't have all of the answers. And I've communicated with her many times, and she shows up for me as a yellow butterfly, but she's with Pa, and she's got lots of years to make up for of not being together. So I don't feel the need to be constantly connected to her. We're always connected heart to heart. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to encourage everyone to remember. Our loved ones are absolutely with us. Once again, our heart, our memories, our emotions, but they do want us to live this life.
So I would love for you to touch on what their lives are like on the other side, because like you said, she's off with your pa and they're doing their thing. And
fishing, again, they're fishing a lot. So
that's awesome. But I mean, they're not just hanging around us, you know, they, and again, that goes back to the expectations and the, you know, demanding. What is it that they, what opportunities do they have?
Right. Well, it's limitless, you know, much like we can imagine those things that we desire to do, places to go and so on. They can do that as well. And sometimes they just rest. You know, if they worked really hard during life, then maybe they just need to rest a bit. And the other thing I want to say too, Lori, is you don't need a medium to be able to connect with your loved ones. The main thing that you want to do is know that they're with you, to heighten your own awareness, to feel their energy, and absolutely trust what you feel, whether it comes through as a thought, a feeling, an impression, a word, or those messengers that show up, as I've already indicated.
Beautiful. Something came to mind a few minutes ago when you were talking about the emotions and, you know, the different emotions that we cycle through. Years and years ago, I heard the phrase, you know, you have to feel it to heal it.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think that a lot of people in deep grief numb out, whether it's through overworking, that's my go-to, alcohol, drugs, whether it's illegal or prescription, overeat, whatever it is, as a way to avoid feeling their feelings. And I think that when we don't allow our emotions to be expressed, it's another way that our connection to our person and our loved one in spirit gets delayed, cut off, compromised.
Restricted. Yeah, it's restricted. Yeah. So when we're feeling heavy, think of that as almost like that brick wall that they're trying to get through and get to us, you know. And I absolutely empathize and recognize that there are many coping mechanisms. And once again, this isn't good or bad. This is how you're choosing to cope and deal. And sometimes life is too much. And what you want to remember, though, is you're human. You signed up to have a human life experience. And part of this experience is the contrast. So we're going to have these awesome, amazing, wonderful experiences, but we're also going to be challenged. And sometimes those challenges, as I mentioned earlier, are more significant and unwanted, absolutely. But if we can see those as our greatest times of growth, it's that awareness and that journey into consciousness that we're on.
Absolutely. I love that. I also want to mention that Shelley is now part of the Helping Parents Heal organization. And so if you are a bereaved parent and are part of that group, please, she did a session,
presentation.
There's a good word for it. A few weeks ago, and she's doing another one in May, but you can find the other one on the Helping Parents Heal YouTube channel or in the Facebook group. And Shelley is just absolutely magical. She has amazing gifts. And so if people are interested in learning more about you or doing some work with you, where can they find you and tell us about the kind of work you do, please?
Absolutely. So you can easily connect with me on Facebook at Intuitive Medium Shelley. I'm also on Instagram at Intuitive Medium Shelley. And then my website is ShelleyRWilson.com. You've got to put that R in there or you won't get me. And so when I work with people, I work with them in various capacities. I practice Reiki. I also offer clarity consultations. So this would be more about offering insight to you, you having specific questions. I'm not a fortune teller. I honor your free will. I want to empower you, but I'm here to offer guidance as well. I also do coaching sessions. So this would be really getting to the root of things. And I also offer what I call inspired living sessions. So you can help yourself to live a fulfilled life. And then also the mediumship sessions, which is that ability to connect with your loved ones in spirit. And then I've written a few books, as you've already indicated, but Journey into Consciousness is my story, my life up to my awakening to when the book came out. And throughout it, I put tips and tools for your journey. And then my most recent book is Embracing the Magic Within. And this is a compilation of personal stories, words of wisdom, exercises, and so on. And you can read the book front to back. There's no chapters in it. However, I do encourage people to use it as a type of oracle. And you can pull the book up and say, what do I need to know at this time? Open it and just randomly lay your eyes on a paragraph or on the page and trust that that's another way that spirit speaks to you.
You also have a beautiful card deck.
Yes, I do. I've got the cards of empowerment. I took all of the pictures myself. These are flowers from my flower beds or from my travels. And the idea is, once again, you can ask specific questions or ask, what do I need to know at this time? And pull one or as many cards as you're guided to. And then when Embracing the Magic Within came out, I also created a new deck called Clarity Cards. So once again, they work in the same way, or you can even use it as a guidepost or a mantra, shall we say, power words that you can work with also.
Ah, okay. I have your first card deck. I will have to get your second card deck because they're beautiful. I mean, the images, you're a beautiful photographer, first of all.
I use my phone. Captures the perfect essence. Yes, thank you.
They always have been. And so, I'm so grateful to you for sharing your beauty, your presence, your gifts, your insights with us today. Is there anything you'd like to share before we wrap up today?
The main thing is I want to encourage everyone to do your best to be present, to do your best to be adaptable and flexible, to honor what you feel. And as you indicated, I say these words, Lori, you got to feel it in order to heal it. And in doing that, it helps to clear it. And if anything, remember that you're here for a reason, and your reason is to have a human life experience.
Beautiful. Thank you, Shelley. I'm grateful.
Thank you
for being here today, for being such a bright light in my life, for our connection. And I know that the audience will love everything you had to share today. So until next week, I am sending you all so much love, light, beauty, and grace.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Grief with Grace podcast. Be sure to join our Facebook community and follow me on Instagram at Lori_Latimer. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts so that you receive a reminder when new episodes are uploaded. And please leave a rating and review so I can continue to bring you fresh new content each week. If you find this podcast valuable, and I hope you do, please be sure to share it with a mom who could use a little extra support. Until next week, I invite you to find a moment of joy today and every day.